Turn with me to Genesis 27. Genesis 27, verse 1. Moses had been on the backside of the desert for 40 years, and God appeared to him in the burning bush and said, "I want you to go deliver my people Israel." And Moses didn't like that idea and began to ask God, "Why would you choose me? I've got a speech impediment. Why would you, I can't talk well. Why would you let me be a messenger for you?" And he says, "Well, haven't I made man's mouth?" Finally, God tells him, "Okay, I'll let you take Aaron along with you. Aaron can be your spokesperson." And Moses reluctantly agrees to go as God has commanded him and is used by God to deliver the people of Israel from slavery. We need to adjust ourselves to God's purposes for our lives. Sometimes that may take us out of our comfort zone. Sometimes it may be something we haven't planned on, but we've got to be willing to adjust to what God has said. Sometimes we get our own agendas in the way, don't we? This is what I want. This is what my idea of what I think I would like to do or where I would like to be or whatever the case may be. And we get sideways from where God wants us to be. Well, the scripture we're looking at today has a whole lot of different agendas. God has already made his will known. He has told Rebecca, the older will serve the younger. God's will is for Jacob to be the spiritual representative, as painful as that may seem in this chapter, it is God's choice for him and God's purpose for his life, but Isaac doesn't see it that way. You see, Esau is Isaac's favorite son. Jacob is Rebekah's favorite son. God has a purpose, and God's going to care about this purpose, but neither one of these parents is seeking God's will or asking what to do from God. Both take matters into their own hands and in accordance with their own agendas. And that gets us into trouble. And so we can't try to fulfill God's will in a sinful way. And so this is what they do. And so there's all kinds of trouble. By the way, God's will still gets done. The right person ends up receiving this blessing, which had a great significance and kind of like a prophecy that would be given. And so the blessing is given. Jacob receives it and is going to be the representative for God, but he's going to have a whole lot of hard knocks along the way, and there's a whole lot of problems that come in the family because they're not adjusting to what God wants. They're taking matters into their own hands. And so the title of my message is Adjusting to God's Plan. Now, I'm going to read this scripture, and I'm going to have 41 points. It's just 4 points tonight, okay? So I'm not going to keep you here all night. But this is a long scripture, but I'm going to read through it, and you can get the idea of what's going on here. Look with me at verse 1 of Genesis 27. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he couldn't see, he called his older son Esau and said to him, "My son?" And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Look, I am old and do not know the day of my death. So now take your hunting gear, your quiver and bow, and go out in the field to hunt some game for me. Then make me a delicious meal that I love and bring it to me to eat so that I can bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening to what Isaac said to his son Esau. So while Esau went out to the field to hunt some game to bring in, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Listen, I heard your father talking with your brother Esau. He said, bring me game and make a delicious meal for me to eat so that I can bless you in the Lord's presence before I die. Now, my son, listen to me and do what I tell you. Go to the flock and bring me two choice young goats, and I will make them into a delicious meal for your father, the kind he loves. Then take it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies. Jacob answered Rebekah, his mother, look, my brother Esau is a hairy man, but I am a man with a smooth skin. Suppose my father touches me, then I will be revealed to him as a deceiver and bring a curse rather than a blessing on myself. His mother said to him, your curse be on me, my son. Just obey me and go get them for me. So he went and got the goats and brought them to his mother, and his mother made the delicious food his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of her older son Esau, which were in the house, and had her younger son Jacob wear them. She put the skins of the young goats on his hands and the smooth part of his neck. Then she handed the delicious food and the bread she had made to her son Jacob. When he came to his father, he said, my father. And he answered him, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob replied to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how did you ever find it so quickly, my son? He replied, because the Lord your God made it happen for me. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come closer so that I can touch you, my son. Are you really my son Esau or not? So Jacob came closer to his father Isaac. When he touched him, he said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. And again he said, are you really my son Esau? And he replied, I am. Then he said, bring it closer to me and let me eat some of my son's game so that I can bless you. Jacob brought it closer to him and he ate. And he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, please come closer and kiss me, my son. So he came closer and kissed him. When Isaac smelled his clothes, he blessed him and said, ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field the Lord has blessed. May God give to you from the dew of the sky and from the richness of the land and abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow and worship to you. Be master over your relatives and may your mother's sons bow and worship to you. Those who curse you will be cursed and those who bless you will be blessed. This bowing down is not in worship. I don't really care for that translation too much, but bow down is definitely part of this. Verse 30, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob and Jacob had left the presence of his father Isaac, his brother Esau arrived from his hunting. He had also made some delicious food and brought it to his father. He said to his father, let my father get up and eat some of his son's game so that you may bless me. But his father Isaac said to him, who are you? He answered, I am Esau, your firstborn son. Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably. Who was it then, he said, who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it all before you came in, and I blessed him. Indeed, he will be blessed. When Esau heard his father's words, he cried out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me too, my father. But he replied, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. So he said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me twice now. He took my birthright, and look, he has taken my blessing. Then he asked, haven't you saved a blessing for me? But Isaac answered, look, I made him master over you, have given him all of his relatives as his servants, and have sustained him with grain and new wine. What then can I do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, do you only have one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father. And Esau wept loudly. His father Isaac answered him, look, your dwelling place will be away from the richness of the land, away from the dew of the sky above. You will live by your sword and you will serve your brother, but when you rebel, you will break his yoke from your neck. Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. And Esau determined in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are approaching, then I will kill my brother Jacob. When the words of her older son Esau were reported back to Rebekah, she summoned her younger son Jacob and said to him, listen, your brother Esau is consoling himself by planning to kill you. So now, my son, listen to me. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran and stay with him for a few days until your brother's anger subsides, until your brother's rage turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send for you and bring you back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day? So Rebekah said to Isaac, I'm sick of my life because of these Hittite girls. If Jacob marries someone from around here like these Hittite girls, what good is my life? All right, so they're quite colorful passage, adjusting to God's plan. How? Well, what do we need to do? Well, first of all, we need to submit to His purpose. Now, sometimes we may not know what the purpose of God is. Have you ever looked at life and you thought, God, what possible meaning and purpose could this day have in your great plan? I've had several days like that where I've just wondered, what possible good could come from this day? So sometimes we may not know the purpose of God, and we walk by faith, not by sight. And so we can take that next step of doing what we need to do in life. And if God doesn't reveal something to us and He leaves it to our choice, we're free to choose. But in this case, God had made His will clear. Rebekah in chapter 25 had prayed to God and said, Lord, these two babies are struggling within my womb. What's going on with this? And God said, there's two nations in your womb. And the older will serve the younger. And so God had told her, and I'm sure she told her husband something that significant. Surely you would tell your husband. Possibly even Esau might have heard this and known this. We're not sure about that. But this was something that God had made clear. This is what God had said was going to happen. And so we surrender to the purpose of God. But what does Isaac do? He says, that's not my favorite son. I'm not going to submit to the will of God. I'm going to bless the son that is my favorite. And so he sets his purpose against God's purpose. By the way, that's always a bad idea. It's interesting to me that Isaac thinks that he can bless because the blessing is something that has to be God ordained in order to do any good, right? He thinks he can bless without God's favor and without God's hand upon his life. But he can't. In fact, God is going to use him to bless his son Jacob despite the fact that his purpose is the opposite. He didn't surrender to the purpose of God, but guess who did? His name is Jesus. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He didn't shrink from the hard task that lay before him. Instead, in the garden, he prayed, not my will, but yours be done. We also see Paul doing something similar. He has been told by God on a number of occasions that he'll suffer many things for his name's sake, and God has told him to go to Jerusalem. And every town where he's going, there's a Christian telling him, hey, I've had a dream, or I've heard, and I believe God is saying, you're going to have trouble in Jerusalem. Please don't go down there. Please don't go down there. And Paul says, hey, I'm not only willing to suffer, I'm willing to die for the sake of Jesus Christ. He would not be deterred from the will of God that God had placed on his life. He was submitted to the purposes of God. God sometimes has purposes that we don't understand. I'm sure when Joseph was sold into slavery and by his brothers, that there were a lot of questions in his mind. What possible good could come from this? And then he's falsely accused by his master's wife. and he's thrown into prison. He's innocent, but he's toiling away in prison, and he is forgotten by those he helps. And it just seems to keep going from bad to worse, from bad to worse, from bad to worse. But these words accompany each of these stages in his life. And the Lord was with him. You see, if God is with you, God can take the circumstance and work it for his purpose. And that's exactly what he does. And Jacob's dream interpretation prowess from the Lord is mentioned to Pharaoh, and he's elevated, and God's purpose is fulfilled. So we need to submit to the purpose of God. We may not always understand it, but we need to submit to it and trust him to fulfill whatever purposes he has in our obedience. Sometimes we can be blind to the faults of our own children, can't we? Isaac is physically blind, but he's also blind to the lack of spiritual concern of his son. He doesn't see these things, but God does. By the way, God's smarter than we are. He's wiser than we are. He sees things with absolute clarity. So we're wise if we submit to his purpose. All right. So adjusting to God's plan, how? We need to submit to his purpose. Secondly, we need to trust in his purpose. Rebecca is, I don't know if she's like the town gossip or something, but I have this mental picture of her sitting, listening. I don't even think they had keyholes back then, but listening through the keyhole, right? What is going on? She is got her antenna up. Isaac thinks he's going to avoid Rebecca by having this ceremony in secret. But boy, she's got his number. And she's right there listening, and she hears the plot and the plan, and she thinks, uh-uh, this is not going to happen. I've got a plan. And she pulls her son Jacob aside, who is not really concerned about the immorality of the plan. He's concerned about whether or not he's going to get caught. And so what if I get caught? I might get cursed rather than blessed. And she says, let your curse fall on me. So she has this wicked, and that is, it is wicked, this wicked plan to deceive and steal away the blessing from Esau by deceiving Isaac, her husband. And she says, this is what you need to do, Jacob. This is what you need to say. By the way, let me help you deceive him. Let me give you your brother's clothes. Let me put the goat skins on your arms and hands and in your neck. Let's do this the right way. And so she's got him all equipped to go in there and deceive Isaac, her husband. She's manipulative. She's deceitful. She's working behind the scenes. Isaac was kind of secretive and manipulative himself, trying to do things in secret. Neither one is trusting God. Rebekah had been told a promise by God. The older will serve the younger. Do you think God needed Rebekah's help, or Jacob's for that matter? God is God. He is able to ensure that things happen the way that he wants them to happen. I think of Moses. He's on the way to Egypt, and the angel of the Lord comes and meets him and says, if you don't circumcise your son, you're in serious trouble. And so he circumcises his son there as he's making his way there. God also intervenes with Balaam. You remember that story, right? And Balaam is going to curse Israel. And God's angel sitting there with a sharp sword ready to cut Balaam down. And Balaam is so spiritually blind he doesn't see it. The donkey sees it. The donkey has more spiritual insight than Balaam. The donkey knows better what to do than Balaam because the donkey has the sense to stop, right? And Balaam's so blind, he's continuing on. So God opens the mouth of the donkey. I just love that. How does he do that? I don't know. It's a miracle, okay? So don't ask me to explain it, but the donkey starts talking to Balaam and says, hey, haven't I been a good donkey for you? Have I ever done this to you before? Maybe something's up here, buddy. And so God opens his eyes and he sees the deaf angel standing there with a sword. And he says, you've got to make sure you say exactly what God tells you to say. Well, anyway, Balaam doesn't listen. He listens temporarily, but then he ultimately gives advice to the king of Moab to send women into the camp of Israel to get the Israelites to commit idolatry so that God would judge them. And he ends up losing his life. God commands that he be put to death. So God doesn't need our help with his purpose. He can achieve his purpose any old time he wants. He is not intimidated by the plans or the strength of men or armies or nations. He stands sovereign over it all. And we can trust in his purpose. What should Rebecca have done? Rebecca, I believe, should have called upon the Lord and said, Lord, you said this, you promised this, what should I do? And if God said, don't do anything, then she stay back and trust the Lord. If God says, do this, then she was to do that. Just take that step. Whatever God tells her to do, she's to do, and then leave the results with God. You don't have to sin to accomplish the purposes of God. Abraham and Sarah fell into the same problem, didn't they? Sarah says, hey, I don't have children, and I know God promised us one, but I'm tired of waiting. And so Abraham, take Hagar as your concubine and have a child through her for my sake, and it'll be my child. And so Abraham says, yes, dear. And he goes and he does what Sarah asked, and all kinds of trouble breaks loose in their family. You see, they didn't have to go the long way around. They could have asked God, Lord, what would you have me do in this situation? Is it not your time? And God could have said, yes, it's not my time. I still want you to wait. So Rebecca doesn't do that. So she takes matters into her own hands and sinfully works to get her own way. By the way, if God has a purpose and a plan, he's big enough to bring it about. So we can trust his purpose. A lot of times we get into trouble in church and in our families and in relationships in general because we think we've got to hold things in our control and we've got to have things our way, and we try our best to achieve these things in our old nature, and it backfires and causes division and trouble in our lives. This is exactly what happens here. It causes all kinds of trouble for them. All right, so adjusting to God's plan, how? We need to submit to his purpose. We need to trust in his purpose. We need to be corrected by his intervention. Okay, if you're not trusting God and you're not obeying God, at least when he slaps you upside the head, listen, right? We find this in, look at verse 32. His father Isaac said, who are you? He answered, I am Esau, your firstborn son. Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably. Who was it then, he said, who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it all before you came in, and I blessed him. Indeed, he will be blessed. So Isaac realizes he's being corrected. He has been overruled. Now, yes, they use sinful methods, but ultimately from the hand of God, God's will is being done. God can use sinful people for his purpose. That's not what we're to pursue. That's not what we're to do as God's people, but God can even use the sins of others to bring about his purpose. And you got to give Isaac credit. At least here, he's not saying, well, you know, I tried to do this in secret. Maybe God wouldn't see what I was doing. Maybe my wife wouldn't see what I was doing. And I could have my own way. But when he realizes God is disciplining him and overruling him, he has the sense to say yes to God. And he tells Esau, look, I've given this blessing and he will be blessed. This is God's will and God's purpose. I can't change it. That's the sense of it. And so he is corrected and overruled by God. One of the things I realized, I was trying to pursue, I had this idea of what, and I knew God had called me to ministry, but I wasn't really sure what area of ministry it was going to be, and I liked music, so I thought, well, it must be music, because that's what I like. So I was pursuing a degree in music, but it was like beating my head against a brick wall. I'd go to school for a semester, I'd have to work for a year to get enough money to go to school again. And finally, God just kicked my legs out from under me. I lost my Pell Grant, which is another story. You can ask me about that after, ask me about my foolishness when I was a young person. But I lost my Pell Grant, and I realized, okay, this is over. I can't continue this. And then I asked God, God, what about this? What are you trying to tell me? Well, I'm so glad you asked. And that is when God called me to preach. You see, I was trying to go my own path, and God had a different path for me. Sometimes we need to be careful not to be hard-headed. Hard-headed people end up having a hard time if they're God's children, because God has to discipline them to get their attention. How big a 2x4 does God have to get our attention, right? Jonah, he's in the ship. I'm just amazed. Everybody in the ship is panicking except Jonah. Jonah goes into the deep part of the ship and is in a deep sleep. He doesn't care. He doesn't care that he's being disobedient to God. He knows he's being disobedient to God. He doesn't care that there's a terrible storm. Well, I might die, but at least I won't have to do God's will. And finally, the head of the ship, who's, by the way, not a believer in Yahweh, rebukes Jonah, and rightly so. He says, cry out to your God. Maybe he'll consider us so we don't perish. And so Jonah kind of goes up, and still doesn't say he cried out to his God. He probably knew it was pointless because of he knew why this had come. Finally, they cast lots to figure out who's the problem on the ship, and the lot falls on Jonah. And he says, throw me overboard, and the sea will be calm for you because I'm the reason I've run from God. And you know, they don't want to do that. But finally, they realize we can't get back to land. We're helpless. And so they said, Lord, please don't hold it against us that we're throwing your prophet in the drink. And they throw him overboard, and all of a sudden the sea becomes calm. Now, Jonah's heart hasn't changed a bit. He probably thinks he's going to die, but at least I won't have to do God's will. And the Bible says, and God appointed a fish. So he just went from bad to worse in the discipline situation. Finally, he surrenders to God. But I hope I can listen to God at the outset so God doesn't have to bring a great storm and put me in the belly of a fish before I start to listen. Isaac does listen to God and recognize God's overruling will here and surrenders to it. And so he's to be commended for that. So adjusting to God's plan, how? We need to submit to his purpose, trust in his purpose, be corrected by his intervention, and finally respond to his discipline. Now Esau, the Hebrew literally says in verse 41, he hated Jacob, his brother. Esau, we're told in the New Testament, was unsaved because he never found a place of repentance. though he sought it with tears. He became so hard-hearted toward the things of God, like we talked about this morning, that when the time came, he wanted the blessing that came with repentance, but he was too far gone. God had quit striving with him, so he was left to his sinful condition. He is lost, okay? So he's not being disciplined, he's being judged. But everybody else in his family is being disciplined. The discord in the family is now at a fever pitch. Rebekah knows that Isaac has tried to do this thing in secret. Isaac knows maybe that Rebekah is behind this thing with Jacob. The division between the sons is great. They've got to send Jacob away because Esau is trying to kill him. Rebekah says, we'll send you away for a few days, and when your brother gets over this, we'll bring you back. Well, that few days ends up being a long, long time. Apparently, Rebekah dies while Jacob is in Paddan Aram, and her child that she loves so much is separated from her for the rest of her life. Jacob, who is such a master manipulator and deceiver, just thought he was the best manipulator and deceiver until he met Laban. And Laban becomes the school of hard knocks for Jacob. And Jacob, by the way, this discipline brings a change in Jacob's life and literally sets him on a right path towards trust and dependence upon the Lord. And he wrestles with that angel and holds on. I will not let you go till you bless me. And he touches his hip and puts it out of socket. And he is walking with a limp, but he's trusting in God. And he meets Esau, and Esau doesn't kill him. And so it becomes a positive thing for Jacob. But these consequences continue. This is why we always need to trust God. It always pays to trust and surrender to the Lord. But this discipline is intended to bring about a right situation between us and God. Not much more is said of Isaac. I guess he's just living in the consequences and of all these things that have taken place. Perhaps he seeks the Lord a little bit more closely. But we're just impressed with the havoc that is going on in this family. And by the way, this is the family God chooses to use. Isn't that amazing? Why would God choose them? Why would God choose us, right? I mean, we've all got hang-ups. Doesn't this make you feel better about yourself? If you weren't feeling good about yourself, maybe when you came here tonight, you can feel a little bit better about yourself after seeing who God ends up using. By the way, the same thing's true of Jonah. Who did God use in the story? It wasn't because Jonah was a spiritual giant. He had the worst attitude of all of them on the ship. And he was the only one who knew God. Can God use people that aren't all together? Yes, he can. So that gives us hope. But we do need to respond to God's discipline. I think one of the reasons that Jacob ends up becoming such a man that God uses is because he responds to the discipline of God, and you see him changing his approach in the later years of his life, and he begins to trust in God and call upon God for help and ask for God's blessing. And instead of working and manipulating behind the scenes like he had done before, now he is surrendering to God in trust. And so God is able to use him. It pays to respond to the discipline of God. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. By the way, discipline has to do with training too. Most of the words that are used in Hebrews 12, which talks about the discipline of Christians, can be translated something like teach or train. God trains us, just like we train our kids, right? We train our kids how to grow up and to make good decisions and not rebel against authority and all of these things. And rear end is a good place to apply discipline. According to the scripture, your child will not die if you apply some discipline to the rear end. You'll teach them wisdom. God does the same thing with us. And so as we learn these lessons, we can then go on and be used in a greater way for the Lord and have a closer walk with God. And that's the goal of it all. So we adjust ourselves to Him. Jesus said, I am the head of the church. Right? You and I are members of the body. My hand doesn't tell my head what to do. My head tells my hand what to do. Right? So if my body is responding to the head, then my body is functioning the right way. But when my body is not responding to the head, I've got a serious disease. Right? Something is desperately wrong. So in the same way, the church and God's people individually need to surrender to God and adjust to His purposes in life. You say, well, my purpose doesn't seem all that great. What I'm doing for God doesn't seem all that important. But let me tell you something. If God has put you there to fulfill that purpose, it is important. And our business is not how to evaluate everybody's purposes. Our business is to do what God tells us to do. And sometimes it may not make a whole lot of sense. Sometimes I read these patriarchal stories, and one reason I like them so much is because a lot of the time you have no idea what God is doing except that we've read the rest of the story, right? But I mean, if you just look at their circumstances, why is God putting them here? Why has God sent Abraham to this country? And he has a grave site in the nation, but he never really owns the land during his own lifetime. Why would God do that? It makes no sense. But God is preparing for the future, right? And he's going to bring his descendants into the land. And by the way, Hebrews tells us he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. There's something beyond this life. Ultimately, we're living for the values and the purposes of eternity. And so what we do now, we receive heavenly rewards for. It is required of stewards that they be found faithful, right? What has God given us to do? We need to do it faithfully for Him and trust Him with the results. And then respond to Him as He corrects us in life. All right, so adjusting to God's plan, how we submit to His purpose, we trust in His purpose, we need to be corrected by His intervention, and to respond to His discipline. And as we do that, we'll have a whole lot more peace in our lives. What does He say? My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So isn't it great to have a God like our God? He's good. He loves us and wants what's best. All right, let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Help us to adjust to the purposes that You have for us, Lord, in life. Lord, when our will is set against Your purposes, Lord, convict us with Your Spirit and help us.